yet another episode of Unlimited Podcast Works. I'm Plaid, who is the host of this thing. I keep the episodes on my website. And with me is Ken, and today we are going to talk about FreeCon. Yeah. And we just did FreeCon 5. FreeCon, in case you guys don't know, is a convention in Tallahassee. It is at Florida State, where it is held in one of the buildings at Florida State. Usually on one of the floors of that building, in particular
the Student Services building, well, second floor.
Right. And unlike most conventions where you have to pay not only for your hotel room and for admittance to the con, in this case, you don't have to pay anything.
It's free!
Indeed. So it's a little more affordable, and as for me, who is a person who is dealing with the limitations of a severely constrained budget, this is a con I can actually afford to go to, and that being that it costs nothing to attend. So, Ken, what do you think are some of the good points about FreeCon, in addition to the price?
Well, one thing one has to remember when going to FreeCon is that because FSU doesn't really give the club very many liberties other than just having that floor, and it's not really much space to begin with. It's more of a kind of a local event. Maybe if you live an hour away, it would be something that would seem worth the trip. But it's not really anything worth getting a hotel room or anything like that. It's essentially just a fun local convention event that lasts all day, 12 to 12, and you know you can spend all your time there. And it's easy to get there, easy to park, and it's very accessible. And you know, as long as you come in with these expectations, I don't really see too many complaints that you can have.
In the past, I've heard it's lasted as many as 3 days, but in this case, it's only 2.
Yeah, that is true, and I think that's actually kind of a good move, since At least right now with the demand for FreeCon, it seemed that the last couple times we had for 3 days, there really wasn't much attention going on in that last day. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much attendance. Didn't really seem like much was going on, and it really almost felt like it's like the last day of every convention. But when it comes to a really small convention like this, then it really kind of shows that, you know, maybe it's best to kind of not really bother and just have 2 full days rather than a half day.
Well, it's not just that the last day has a whole bunch of, has some negative feelings associated with it. It's also that the last day is usually a Sunday. And Sunday is typically the one day of the weekend that students want to spend studying so that the weekend isn't a complete bust. What do you think?
That is correct, and I remember, I think it was either FreeCon 3 or FreeCon 4, where the Sunday that they end up having the third day on was actually on Easter.
Oh, well, that would explain why no one's around. They're probably busy celebrating that day with their families. I mean, but then again, I don't really associate myself with that religion, so I don't know the particulars. What do you think? Is that a correct stance to take?
Well, I mean, there was still some attendance. It was just a quiet drop compared to the first.
So it was sort of sparse, one might say.
Yeah, I mean, we had a small extra video game tournament going on, and we had a music event, and it pretty much kind of closed up things, and it was just whereas the last 2 days were all day, this only was, 3 or 4 hours, so it wasn't really even something worth kind of going way out of your way to go to, unless, there was something that you knew was there that you were really looking forward to.
Okay. So, for the reasons that we just outlined, the decision was made to have FreeCon on Friday and Saturday, April 17 and 18 of 2009 only. And for an event that was put on for how many people? put on by how many people would?
How many staffers?
Or? Yes. How many? How much? How many staffers were there?
I believe there 15 was
15 or so.
Yeah, I'd say 12 to 15.
Okay. Staffers. Well, we managed to draw over 400 people.
Yeah.
Which for a student event is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, especially for something like this at FSU at Tallahassee, where there really isn't really feels that if you ever are here, there really isn't much diversity or organization towards these kind of interests involving video games or anime. I mean, I know there is some small video game clubs out there, but they seem very sparse. Sometimes they don't even last very long.
Yep. And as far as we had a large variety of events of in regard to video games, we had a gaming room, which included several Iron Man tournaments, and I think you supervised some of those.
Yes, the Iron Man tournament consisted of four games. One was rather of a mystery game, but I believe the games that we had in mind were Street Fighter for Smash Brothers, Forza Motorsport, and then the mystery game ended up being Mega Man for Nintendo, a type of score attack.
Right. The original Mega Man game included scores that you and you could increase your score by fighting the robots and doing other things, although you could really rack up the points by eliminating the robot masters. As well as most of the people listening to this podcast will remember. Yeah,
you essentially play until you die, and then they tally up the score. And because it's an elimination process, and this being the last game, it was only between three or four people. So
I feel really sorry for anybody who picked Gutsman first. How did that scenario pan out? What was their order in which they challenged the guys hanging out in the 10x10 rooms?
In the tournament or in the video game room?
Well, I'm talking about the Mega Man. What was the typical order that they went for?
Well, I wasn't able to witness the entire event. I did see that some people were just anxiously watching and trying to figure out different strategies to go over. So, and also everyone was very patient. So it seemed like only one person was really familiar with the game and kind of knew the path they were going. I don't believe anyone did pick Gutsman. I believe it was the standard Cutsman.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. That's a good good attack angle to take. Yeah. All right. In addition to the video gaming, there were also anime viewing rooms. And we had some technical problems with those, which I'll address now. The DVDs were fine, but in the process of transcoding Matroska files, and Matroska, or MKV, is a container format, which means that it can encapsulate several different types of audio, video, and subtitle sources. And it also makes directional subs possible, in which the subtitle isn't always in the same position on the screen. And that can mean converting it over to another format a little bit on the tricky side.
Probably lose some information there.
Yeah. In the future, I hope to pick up a Popcorn Hour media player solely for this purpose, for watching anime fan subs. And pirating movie. Oh, I didn't actually say that, though.
Oh,
you didn't hear that.
Well, what was some of the problems going down as far as...
The subtitle might not be on the screen.
As far as FreeCon, like, what was actual... Okay.
I'm getting to that. The subtitle may not have been on the screen, or perhaps the audio didn't quite sync up with the video.
Mm.
Stuff like that. And it was sort of distracting. But we had, spare shows held in reserve that we could draw on in case the video schedule had to be reworked, so we did that.
That sounds Yes, I mean, as far as I noticed, there weren't really too many technical errors, so yeah. I'm assuming that wasn't a reoccurring problem other than just maybe once or twice.
The thing is, it happened a couple times every day of the con, so it will be something that we work to correct in the future. Well, it's important, you know, to talk about what worked and what didn't work. That way you can figure out what you can build on or what could be addressed in order to make the next one more successful.
So,
yeah. And then, of course, there were the panels in which people talked about different things on different days.
Yeah, I like the Fates Day Night panel.
I'm glad you said that. I can't comment on its quality because I made it. I mean, I think I made a pretty good panel, but I'm not exactly an unbiased source. But other people seem to like it, and that made me feel pretty good. I don't want to put on a bad show.
There were people right afterwards who said that was a really well done panel.
Yeah, and they asked me some good questions about it, and I got a chance to introduce and promote this strange game, this visual novel, to a whole bunch of people. We already talked about Fates Day Night in another show, so we won't go too deep into that here. But
what were some of the other panels?
Well, let's see. There was the hentai panel in which they the person who put that on, Jamie, showed us all kinds of strange Japanese hardcore pornography.
Pornography, but animated pornography.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to leave in the Friday one, basically because some of the stuff on screen was kind of a little on the disturbing side, and I was feeling uncomfortable looking at it. But maybe if I had attended the Saturday session, maybe I would not have been so squicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the term I'm looking for.
There's also the the video game, or not the video game panel. I didn't get to watch that, unfortunately. I don't know if you attended that, but
no. As a staff member, my schedule was pretty much booked. My jobs included, taking attendance for the con, making sure everything was working at the con, helping the guys in the video game room to make sure that people didn't abscond with the gear. Although I didn't do that often, once or twice.
Yeah, as far as I know, we never really had any problems. So.
I don't think we would. I think people are basically honest, but one or two bad apples necessitate the presence of a guard who can say, "Would you don't leave with the Wiimote because it's not yours, yeah. and therefore it does not belong to you."
Yeah, well, even then we did have a policy. I noticed a lot of conventions have been doing this, and I kind of hate that we had to start doing it, but because of, the advances of our own technology, where,
everything is Bluetooth now, so.
Well, yeah, so, whenever someone needs a wireless controller, we ask for their picture ID or license to keep, so they don't, if they keep that, we can keep them, per se.
Well, or at least inconvenience them by forcing them to replicate another ID.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
No problems. There has never been any problems, but fortunately, that's something that has been maintained at FreeCon as far as the video game room. As far as the panels, the cosplay contest, that went over very well. I think
one of the things I like about the cosplay contest at FreeCon is you're not automatically disqualified from entering if you use a pre-bought costume. Instead, it just deducts a few points from your final score. And yeah. I think that's a good thing. If you not everybody is able or has the time possible for sewing. This allows them to maybe show off an outfit. And if you enter a cosplay contest with the objective of winning, I think are not really into the spirit of cosplay. I think cosplay is a fun way to show off your love for a character.
Definitely.
But it's not really about trying to prove that your skills are necessarily better than other people. I think you should just have fun and basically take it easy, personally.
Well, something they
but
do...
But that's just how I see things. I could be wrong.
Well, something they do look at as far as other contests, I'm not sure if... Well, actually, they kind of looked at it a little. I saw with the judges is not so much the... what went in the costume, but the how the person kind of carries the costume.
And, yes.
You know, if they are, I guess, sort of portraying that character. And it was very interesting. You know, the winner was a Zelda and Link couple who actually were there last year, but they missed the cosplay contest.
Oh.
And then they showed up this year and they won. And what made it kind of funny was the person who was hosting it was cosplaying as the King Hyrule from the CDI Link game.
Little backstory for you guys. Back in the day, Philips was trying to produce a CD-ROM-based video game system. And there are a host of negative aspects to that system. And the games produced for it were almost completely... without redeeming value.
Yeah, but the...
And you can see the Angry Video Game Nerd's review of the Philips Zelda games if you really want to know more about that particular horror show. Suffice it to say that it was not very good. So it was oddly appropriate that the judge was dressed as the king.
Yeah.
If you've seen any of those videos online, you know, that start off with, Link, my boy, this piece is what all true warriors strive for, or so on. It's that guy. Yeah. It's that character.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ken.
I really like the fact that it was the CDI version, not the other version. So it kind of gives sort of a treat for people who, you know, seen that and know who that is.
Indeed.
But yeah, that went off very well. I think the only thing was, I think I kind of liked the host of last year's a little bit better, but you can't, at the same time, you can't beat the King Hyrule of, you know, Zelda CDI. Just something that can't be.
You can't top that.
Yeah, and then
this host is what all true cosplayers hope for.
And then the other I believe, what was second place? Do you remember?
I wasn't there, so I can't bear witness to events I did not witness.
Yeah, well, I have pictures of all the costumes winners, so if anyone wants to check the website tallahasseeanime.com/freecon, I believe that's the URL. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, you'll see a gallery, and there's pictures of all the from the con, and also from everyone who had entered the cosplay contest.
All right. Yeah.
So
there was something else that I thought was a good thing about the con. We had a cosplay cafe. You do not have to cosplay to attend the cafe, but the people serving you were dressed in some kind of costume. It varied from person to person. And it was a rousing success. It allowed the con to maybe do a little bit better than just breaking even. We even turned a bit of a profit. And the price for the tickets was very low, which meant that college students attending the event, who unfortunately do not have very much money, it meant that they were able to get a plate full of food and unlimited drinks for $3, which is not a bad deal. And it also allowed them to rest their heels, which is somewhat good after they've been walking around, attending different events, playing video games, and doing all the things that one does at a con. A little space to take a chill pill, so to speak, is appreciated. And I hope that next year, that in addition to the array of snacks and cakes that we provided this time, I hope that we will provide food that's a little healthier, such as turkey sandwiches and that kind of thing.
Well, the only thing of that was it was a very good idea. I'm very glad it was somewhat of a success. The only thing is...
Well, not somewhat of a success.
Yeah,
it was a success. And we even took some of the extra money and had a staff pizza party,
yeah.
which was nice.
Very thankful for that.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I think maybe next year we can try and have kind of a theme going on.
Yes. I'd advocate a butler and maid cafe, but the rest of the staff is perfectly welcome to go with a different idea.
Well, I think the idea is that we didn't really plan for the idea too much on its own. So, that was something that, I talked to them a little bit about that, it was something that we were interested in doing, but we didn't really, because it's a new event and we were running short on time.
There was no theme.
Yeah. We couldn't really, we couldn't establish a theme. So, really, I think next year it seemed like there was interest in maybe trying to change that. Also, there's some pros and cons of this. I noticed with it being open most of the day to everyone, there's kind of a pro that, anyone can just come in and knows that's there, and they don't really miss out, and they can take advantage of it. But at the same time, I kind of also might consider that it may be better to have it as an actual panel/event that you pay to go in, and then it lasts for an hour or so, and then it kind of gathers more people in that room. But then again, you also have the con of, it's too many people.
Well, that was an issue at AWA for their maid cafe. Yeah. The lawn that formed to check it out was immense, which meant that they had to go into overtime to serve all those people. And I respect the ladies involved for doing that. However, that's the negative aspect of going with that idea.
Well, I know probably the best anime cafe I've ever been to was the ones at Anime South. I went to their Orin Host High School Club cafe, right, which was very good. And this year's maid bunny cafe just blew everything away. Just a very nice dining room. Everyone was good. 13-14 people dressed up. Good. The selection was kind of on the low side. You just had, I think, tea or water. I think you had option of coffee and then.
We had soda, tea, water, coffee, and when we say soda, we mean wide variety of sodas.
Yeah, our selection was actually our selection was actually bigger than Anime South's maid.
That's right. Anime South did not have as many beverage choices as we did. I was a little confused as to what Dino Saucer was speaking of.
Our food choices.
But yeah, we did have more food choices too.
Yeah, but at the same time, there was and also the maid cafe Anime South is a lot more. I remember it cost some. I think it cost somewhere around $15-$20.
I thought it was $10. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Yeah, I don't really remember the exact, but I knew it was at least $10 to $20 to get in that cafe, and where it was nice, and you can kind of sit around. They also had like a game or two going in because it's a really big room, and because Anime South is a very well organized convention, but it's not as big as AWA. They're able to take advantage of the liberties. Whereas, I guess we'd also be kind of in that same boat where if we were to make it an event or panel like AWA did, I don't know if we would be able to suffice the room for it.
I don't think we would. I think that we were better off using the thing, doing the thing the entire day for that reason. People would come over and they'd see it, and then they'd come back later when they were hungry or if they wanted to take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pros and cons, and maybe if we got like a better floor, that would be something. But I think as far as it was good.
Yeah, someone approached me and asked me to bring them free food from the staff room, and I informed them that that was not really a very good request to make. I pointed out that we were running the convention for free, and that. Even still, $3 for food and a drink isn't bad. That's better than what you can get at Starbucks.
Yeah. So overall,
most restaurants.
I think it's just if we ever got like a bigger space. I know there was talks of some kind of convention center FSU may be obtaining that
Oh, that would be wonderful if that were the case. We could make this thing huge.
Yeah,
but we may need to have more staffers. As it was, everybody's schedule was pretty packed.
Well, there was me and I know at least a lot of the video game staff. We were pretty much could kind of do as we please. There was always, we were very good in organizing and taking turns. I never really felt or I saw anyone in a position where they were kind of stuck. I think the only thing was a lot of staffers, including myself, my guy, distracted by actually playing video games. So I kind of made it a point where if I were playing a video game, it was the television that happened to be right by the door so you can block people coming in.
Yes.
Which is what I did. I moved my chair up to the door and I'm like, oh, hi, you're coming in. And then I just...
Right. So, did you do Super Bus Driver?
Super Bus Driver.
It is a game for the Sega Dreamcast, and in it you play a Japanese bus driver. The game is one of the tensest, slowest moving car chases ever.
Wow.
Because you're driving at around between 15 and 30 miles per hour, but the game is intense. You'll be checking your signals, making sure that there are no pedestrians in the way, and you've got to make a signal to a chime at every bus stop and make sure everybody gets on and off and pays for their time and so on.
We didn't actually have at FreeCon. We did have Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the Dreamcast.
Is now coming out for on the PSN.
Yes, and Xbox Live Arcade.
I am pumped about that. I am excited about the idea of playing against some of my friends in an actual 2D game with sprites.
Yeah. We also had a Fate Unlimited Codes that was pretty popular.
It was popular. However, a lot of people were playing it for the first time, and Ken will be playing it for the first time after this podcast is finished recording.
We also had a Nintendo, which surprisingly was somewhat popular. I noticed last year, not many people played it, but this year I always saw someone over there playing. Quite a few PS2 games that were very popular. So everything. The only downside to the going back to the video game room was we didn't have as many TVs as we did last year, and the TVs that we had, there was only maybe two or three of them that were pretty big, and the rest were kind of like small, maybe monitor size. But, you know, everyone was happy. I saw no real complaints as far as that goes.
Yeah.
I guess another area that's often overlooked would be the... I'll say we'll go to the Artist Alley for it.
Oh, wow. I was not able to attend that.
Yeah.
I'm not as into the Western fan art scheme as some people are. I mean, I like to draw, but I don't try to charge people for my drawings, but... But if other people want to do that, that's fine. I'm not saying anything about that.
Yeah, it's well, you know, first there's the Iron Artist. The only thing of that was I thought it was going to be a problem, but I was surprised it had a huge turnout. They had to move a few things, so they start the Iron Artist on, I believe it's 12:30 Saturday. So it's basically right when FreeCon starts. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, it's going to be kind of hard. People might get distracted. And then, sure enough, the whole room was, every good 20 people were there. The whole room was full, and everyone was drawing away. And you know, there's some pretty good talent in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to the actual Artist Alley, I saw some very good time at this nice girl, Mrs. Freeman, who...
Is she related to John Freeman or Henry Freeman?
No.
I see. So maybe she doesn't have to face full life consequences.
Well, she was the Yuna cosplayer there, and she was very good. I think she was probably my favorite artist out there. There's some other people I knew the school went to school, and I taught them, and they all were having a good time. I'm really sure. Do you pay a fee to get a table in the Artist Alley?
I think you do, and I think you also pay if you're a dealer.
Yeah. How much is the fee, by the way?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think it's that much, though.
Yeah, it was $5, $10.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be much more than that.
No, and you get the benefit of being around a bunch of kids who are interested in this kind of stuff, who just got their spring disbursement from financial aid, so perhaps they'll feel inclined to buy something.
Yeah, I mean, I bought something. And actually, the RSL, yeah, it was something I never really appreciated my first year or two going to conventions. Now, I actually starting to spend my money more there than I would in the actual dealer's room, surprisingly.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of make it a goal to always look for at least one picture I really like and an RS Alley and buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but the art, but as far as I know, all the art, I've only talked to maybe a good half of the artists there, and there weren't any complaints. They kind of knew that was a small scale event, but.
I think most of them appreciated that, and it was a chance for them to spread awareness of their thing.
Yeah.
I hope that they were able to turn a substantial financial reward. We had a discussion about this. It's hard being a webcomic artist unless you're a really established. You're a really established brand name. You know, the guys doing 8-Bit Theater or Mega Tokyo. Or whatever, they don't have to worry about drawing a crowd at a con. They will, because they're already known. But if you're not a known quantity, it can be harder to drum up the same level of enthusiasm. And I'm not saying that one type of one artist's work is better than another's. I'm just saying, you know, unless people know, they don't come as much.
And the fill in people on that, there were I think about two or three webcomic artists there, and I think the only complaint I've really heard from an artist there was one person who actually came a good couple hours away. I'm not even really too sure why, but it seemed like maybe they were expecting a big event. They're only there for a couple hours that I saw, and at her table. She was selling merchandise for her comic, but I didn't actually see her selling any actual artwork or you know, any comics. So it kind of made it very confusing that if you're not...
If you have no prior knowledge of that, then you wouldn't really know what the merchandise is referring to. If I see an icon of the Batman Beyond single, I recognize it, but... Yeah. If I were not familiar with that show, that might not register with me.
Yeah, I didn't really see her selling any artwork. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just mostly saw merchandise. And she didn't even have a laptop or anything else so people could see the comic, which would have been a really good idea.
That could be an important thing for me to advocate in terms of what artists should bring a portfolio, either... hard copy or digital would be a nice thing to bring so that people can see what you can do, particularly if you want to do the Iron Alice artist thing, or if you want people to commission artwork from you, they want to see what you can do.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were, you know, people were taking... I saw a really funny commission. Saw Yugi, I think it was Skip who had it. See the picture of Yugi they had commissioned, and surrounded by the Cenobites from Hellraiser.
Yeah, to explain the joke to those of you at home, in Hellraiser there is a puzzle which, if solved, will summon the Cenobites, correct? Yeah,
which are these kind of demon guardians. They wear like black leather and have these
horrible features.
Yeah, like one guy has, if you heard the guy called Pinhead, that would be one of them. And
yeah. I think that the anime Berserk has the God Hand, which somewhat reference the Cenobites.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of influence from, you know, as far as they go. But going back to, but her complaint was, she gave some interesting complaints, but I think it was more matched up to that she was expecting and maybe... a bigger scale event, maybe on the size of
Ava, or a larger con.
Maybe not that, but something like MomoCon, which is a college-oriented convention event that's free, but at the same time, Georgia Tech gives them so many liberties, gives them so much space, and actually pushes the event. Whereas FSU is more like, well, you know, here's some space.
Yeah, and we appreciate it. It's okay, to be honest, I think that the college just isn't very interested in this event.
Correct.
That's okay. You know, we don't want to force the college to become more involved than they already are. It's their choice whether or not they want to be involved. The point being is that MomoCon has official sanction from the school and is heavily supported by the school. Whereas FreeCon is not.
Yeah, and I think and the thing is, the reason why we keep doing it, even though under these circumstances, is that, you know, we believe that as long as we just keep doing it and keep building the numbers, which we are, then, you know, FSU will acknowledge, okay, this is something that's become a reason why people are coming here, and that's something that maybe we should kind of expand on.
Which is why it's important for you guys to sign in when you come to FreeCon.
Yes.
You don't have to do anything else to come, but when you do, just sign in.
And if you want to say that, you know, if you want to say your Miss Pepper Potts or, you know, Hugh Jackman or something like that, that's okay as long as you're putting something down.
Yes.
That's... As far as going back to the RSL, a lot of good talent there. Some stuff not really my forte, but then some stuff was pretty good. And the Yuna cosplayer, she was probably my favorite person there. And, you know, I still talk to her every now and then, so I'm really interested. She's very interested in coming back. Everyone I've talked to is
good.
Interested in coming back. So.
Yeah, I hope that everyone who came had a good time.
Yeah, I think they... Next thing is maybe the dealer's room.
We can talk about that for a bit.
Yeah.
We had about, three different merchants and then people selling tickets.
I think it was four
shirts.
Actually.
Well, yeah, the fourth one
four.
was our guy, though.
Well, no, we had...
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, we had four dealers. The dealer room kind of took a plunge from... last year's, but at the same time, there were some things that were there that actually appealed to me more than last year. Like, last year we had a who's the vendor who had all those DVDs?
I don't know.
Yeah, last year we had this vendor who had all these anime and J-Rock DVDs. Unfortunately, we didn't have him this year, but it was kind of cool. Like, oh wow, you know, we have like this vendor that's been around for a while and you know, selling these DVDs, but at the same time, I was told that some of his stuff were janky bootlegs and in like HK stuff. All of it was some of it.
Yeah, that's not really a good thing to sell at a con.
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't come back. But instead, we had JL, who's been a dealer at every FreeCon ever since we've started a dealer's room. And she sells a lot of different strange arts and crafts that have anime, Bushido influence, a lot of different keychains, a lot of interesting stuff. And then we had one person who kind of had both a dealer's table / artist table where she was doing art, but she was also selling art, and she was also selling different mangas and things like that, and some at a discount. And then, like, I remember when she was closing up, she slashed her manga prices to like a good $3 or $4 a volume.
Nice.
Then we had, my favorite was this one guy who looked like Hugh Jackman. He was selling this huge selection of video games. He was a huge hit. Everyone bought games from him.
He had some good games there,
yes.
Too. Some very good old games, like Lunar 2, Silver Story,
yes.
Star Story, and stuff like that. I was impressed.
He mostly sold the PS1 and PS2, a couple of DS and GBA games that were, you know, kind of RPG or JRPG oriented.
If you're a weeaboo, these are the types of titles that attract your attention.
Yeah, and I bought the original Bushido Blade there because I had never played it, and I was a fan of the second one, and there were like a bunch of games that I kind of wish I had more money to grab, but I was I was very impressed by his selection. From what I understand, he was a huge hit. A lot of people I talked to, they said they bought games from him. And of course, there was also our T-shirt table where we sold, as far as our Jacked T-shirts, we sold all of them except for I think one small and one extra large. I don't
right.
know what they
said. And the free con shirts too.
Yeah, what was the, I know there was a sign up sheet, but did we ever get those extra free con shirts?
I'm sure we will. Yeah. I just don't, I don't handle that, so I don't know.
And this is the kind of one drawback is because this is a free event and it isn't free for us staffers. We can't.
No, it's not.
We can't really order too many T-shirts with knowing that they might not pay off. So when it came to the FreeCon T-shirts, instead of selling them there and not knowing whether or not we were going to actually make any kind of, not even a profit, it's about just making even. We had a sign-up sheet, and, if you're interested, we will contact you and confirm, and then...
And then we'll make the shirts.
Yeah, and we can do the exchange if you ever come by our office.
Yep.
And I saw, a good 30 people who signed up to get one on me. I
cool.
have one T-shirt, so...
I have one also.
Dealer's Room, in some ways, kind of a plunge from last year, but at the same time, it appealed to me more, so I didn't really mind.
I'm down with it.
I think. Is there anything else?
I think I pretty much said everything I was going to, except that it was I had a wonderful time.
Yeah,
I worked my keister off, and I was plumb tired when it was over. But I slept really well the next day, and I felt very very peaceful and had a wonderful feeling of accomplishment. So yeah, I'll hopefully be able to come back to the States to do it again next year. And if you guys haven't come to FreeCon, well, why not, if you're near the area, why not give it a spin?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and again, until we are able to secure more space and maybe more people.
It's going
to
be a small-scale event.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you're living out in Nebraska or something like that.
Maybe you shouldn't make the commute if you're out of state.
Or
if you have to spend more than 3 hours driving, I think you might want to not attend to. But if it's 2 hours or less, then sure, it could be worth it.
Yeah, I've heard people from Panama City and so forth come and say they had a good time.
Good.
So I mean, it's definitely worth at least making that the Saturday.
And if you have to get a hotel to come, well, at least you don't have to pay for the con admittance.
Yeah, and plus, like, the hotels, depending on if you're careful to look, it's only maybe $30, $50.
Yeah.
So, overall, FreeCon is a pretty decent convention if you're in the area, and we're hoping that, it gets better every year. I thought this was being here since FreeCon the second, I thought this was my favorite FreeCon, and
I think we kicked ass this time.
And I think I met some good people that I still talk to. I think next year we're definitely we're starting to get in a direction where we know what doesn't work and what does work, so we can start pushing in a very good solid direction. The only thing that maybe hold us.
Go ahead.
And I think the only thing that may hold us back until we are able to overcome that hurdle is maybe occupy more space.
Yes.
I believe that concludes our FreeCon analysis and review.
Yes, it does. Okay. And that's about it.